Over the years, there have been some amazing films. We at Staggering Stories have watched the best. We've watched Star Wars, A New Hope. We've watched Godfather Part 2. We've watched Citizen Kane, all of which are classics.
Highlander.
Highlander, indeed. And we've adored them. And we've gone away from the cinema wiser for them. And then Jean suggested we watched something to do with Godzilla. And our IQs plummeted. Therefore, this episode of Staggering Stories is going to be quite short.
Welcome, welcome, one and all, to Staggering Stories podcast 452. I'm Jean.
I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
And I, yes, I am...
a man who's done man things.
Man stuff. Too much information.
Did you see the match on Friday?
I did. Keith did the garden this afternoon.
I did. I cut things with shears and prunings.
It was a joy.
And what's more, I've got all my fingers afterwards. Yeah.
You were supervised at the time, weren't you, by the boss?
I had to hold the ladder.
The ladder?
The wisteria had really gone quite high.
It was on the roof.
Sharp things and at height.
Yeah. She said, do you want to go and get the hedge trimmer? No. If I fall off of this, that hedge trimmer's going through my neck.
It could have been just the three of us.
Yeah. Nice of you. Hot fuzz with the woman of the...
Sorry, my husband's just killed himself with a chainsaw, and you think I'd pop over and do a podcast?
I would expect it.
Yeah, fair
enough.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Sorry, Keith can't be here.
It's what he would have wanted.
Thanks.
Well, with all this arboreal shenanigans...
Oh, good word.
Let us move to the news with El Presidente.
Woohoo!
Doctor Who news.
Yes.
Fear her, temporarily removed from iPlayer. Ooh. One of Doctor Who's weakest... What? I liked Fear Her.
Do you really?
Yes.
It always comes in the bottom 20 of all Doctor Who stories.
I've seen worse episodes than it.
Love and Monsters.
That also comes on the bottom 20.
One of Doctor Who's weakest stories, according to Adam, has been removed from the BBC iPlayer. This isn't a judgment of the quality of 2006 superb Fear Her, and nor is it some convoluted rights issue, as with the first ever Doctor Who story, 1963's An Unearthly Child. Instead, it is because Fear Her features the voice of disgraced BBC news presenter Hugh Edwards, who has admitted making indecent images of very real earthly children. The story is set during 2012's London Olympics and features Edwards' commentary on the stadium audience disappearing and subsequent events. Fortunately, it is only a voiceover, so the plan is to have someone else revoice the scene in question and then relist the episode. Naturally and sadly, in this case, your DVDs won't magically change to the new version. Hopefully, whoever they choose won't turn out to be a raging pedo in years to come.
Actually, case in point, yep. I never actually realised it was Hugh Edwards.
I had no idea who the presenter was.
Oh, really? Okay, definitely did, but... Okay. Yeah.
I knew it was Dame Kelly Holmes.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
I have to say, given how many episodes of Doctor Who there has been over the decades,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and the majority of the cast have been British, mm-hmm. this is not to disband the British, but because this is in Britain, I am surprised that there hasn't been more people convicted of a crime in this country that's related to the programme.
One of them's got Anne Widdecombe in, and she's a complete and total tit.
Yeah, but she hasn't actually been convicted of anything.
She should have been, for being a complete and total tit.
Yeah, this is the first one we've had. I don't think this
Well, no, it's the
bad.
Second, because they had to ditch the entire Jimmy Savile Children in Need thing, didn't they?
Yeah, they did have to cut around it.
But for actual stories.
Yeah,
particularly given the BBC's history. They've employed some dodgy people over the years.
Yeah, precisely.
The Orville. New season filming in 2025.
Oh, God.
Back in 2022, Seth MacFarlane's Star Trek-alike series, The Orville, had somewhat delayed third season, dubbed New Horizons. Now at least one member of the cast is suggesting that a fourth season is coming. Actor Scott Grimes, who played helmsman Gordon Malloy, recently claimed at a Star Trek convention that the fourth season is set to begin production in early 2025. Presumably after the second season of MacFarlane's TED prequel TV series wraps. Given the gap between seasons, it is unclear whether all the main cast will return, but there was a four-year gap between season two and season three without significant cast loss. If true, then we are at least 18 months away from broadcast, and likely rather more. The first three seasons can be found on Disney Plus here in the UK.
Yeah, I must say I'm not up to date with that. I really should watch season three. Heard great things about it.
I really can't get my head round the Orville.
Well, okay.
I've watched
basically next gen.
Nah, because you see,
I have to disagree.
It's meant to be funny.
Yeah, it's basically next gen season one. All three seasons have been season one with the same deftness of touch.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of it.
I remember being quite excited to see it and then watching it and being underwhelmed.
It's only got his fans, sorry. But...
I'm not knocking them.
Marilyn Manson has his fans.
So if you like it, you like it. It just doesn't float my boat. It's all season one.
His boat has
gen.
Sunk.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
It is a sunken ship.
Oh.
But you enjoy it. You know, you may not like quality things such as Fear Her, but you enjoy the Orville. Anything named after a green duck puppet must be good.
Indeed.
Any more news?
Yes. The Boys!
Yay!
Prequel series announced.
Can I just check? We all agree The Boys is awesome?
Yes.
Haven't seen it.
What I've seen of it, I've got out of touch with it, so I need to get back.
I haven't watched the latest season because I didn't want to watch the adverts. I'm waiting for the Blu-ray.
I haven't seen any of it.
Recommend.
With the recent news that Amazon's cynical superhero series The Boys will finish with its as-yet-unfilmed fifth season, it is unsurprising that the hit series is to receive another live-action spin-off set in the 1950s. This prequel series is currently named Vault Rising and will star Jensen Ackles as the proto-Highlander soldier boy and Aya Cash as the Nazi Stormfront. There is no word on when we might expect this, but likely after The Boys finishes and certainly after the second season of the other live-action spin-off, Gen V.
Origin stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Both of these characters, Soldier Boy and Stormfront, have appeared in the current version.
I haven't seen any with Soldier Boy, but I think we saw the one with Stormfront
in
it.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Were they not the same season? I can't remember. But they're both heroes from the past who have either lived or been frozen and been brought back. And so.
A la Captain America.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Soldier Boy is sort of Captain America.
Yeah,
really. But Homelander is sort of Superman.
Yeah.
Homelander is not Superman.
You can see the origins of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a twist on those characters.
Are there any addendums?
I have one sad addendum.
No.
I do apologise because I am going to mangle this name, and I apologise now. Patty Yusatake. She'll be familiar to fans as Nurse Agawa from Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah.
She wasn't a main character, but she was one of the recurring background secondary characters.
Yes, a bit like O'Brien. But
like O'Brien, but yeah. Has died on the 5th of August this year.
Oh, she can't have been that old.
Actually, she was. She's about 70, I think. She was born in 6th of September 1953.
That's not that old.
That's really, yeah,
but she was. She looked a lot younger.
She certainly did. Yeah,
she looked a lot younger than than she was.
Yeah, the closer you get to the number, the less
I know. I know.
Yes.
The closer you get to it, the less old it seems.
It's sad. Yes. Did she ever appear in the films? I think she did appear in Generations, didn't she?
I think she was also in First Contact.
Yeah.
First Contact, that was it. I knew she was in one of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to look on her IMDb page.
Yeah.
God, she was in a lot of things.
Yes.
Oh, she was in NCIS. Pretty Little Liars.
She's been one of these jobbing actors. It's a face you'd recognise, but not necessarily a name.
The Young and the Restless.
Oof.
Bones. Grey's Anatomy.
Well.
Star Trek Armada. Voice video game.
Yep, presumably. Zogauer.
Star Trek First Contact. Star Trek Generations. Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah.
And before she became Nurse Ogawa, she was in, oh God, everything.
Yeah.
Picket Fences, Sons and Daughters, wow. Murphy Brown, Tales from the Crypt. Scarecrow and Mrs. King, God.
Boxliner.
And her first role as an actress was in T.J. Hooker.
Oh, no. That didn't put her off for life.
So, yeah, sad news.
Sad.
Yeah.
Any more addendums?
Nope. Nope.
But talking of great age, maybe we should say happy birthday to a missing...
Yes, speaking of people who have aged, yes. He's aged himself so much that he's vanished.
Actually, what you can't see is, David Tennant, little hobgoblin from...
He's actually turned into that.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's 60, isn't it?
He has just turned 60.
Happy 60th birthday.
Is it 60 or 61?
No,
it's 60. Happy 60th birthday to Crumbly.
Happy birthday, Crumbly!
We will see you on Sunday when we're all going out for a meal and you will get presents and shit.
I bought a banner to put up, but he's not here.
Yeah. So. We can take it to the restaurant.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We're going to... If any of you chaps are ever in Arundel, in Sussex, go to the Black Rabbit. It's a wonderful pub/restaurant on the River Arun. And, it's really good.
When we say in Arundel, it's not actually in Arundel, it's just outside.
It's in Arundel. You've got to go towards the castle.
You won't find it in the town centre.
Yeah.
I believe it has some Harry Potter connections.
It does.
Yeah. It does.
I don't know what, but they've got one of the boats.
They rode to Hogwarts in the first story.
One of the films.
There's going to be a really nice walk round along the river, up and round and back to the pub. But every time we go, it's either underwater, snowed on, or we just had too much pudding and we just can't be bothered.
Oh, look, there's the...
We did once go about 100 yards up that path.
We did. It was squelchy, wasn't it?
It was very squelchy. We decided we would come back.
We did.
Take willies next time.
Yeah. And that's the end of the news. We had a friend once. He was a lovely guy. Dave. Dave Zilla the Mighty here in memory of him.
Yep.
Dave was awesome. Dave gave brilliant hugs. Dave called a spade, and if you were Dave's friend, he would protect you for life.
Yeah.
Dave had crap taste in films. Oh my God, did the man have crap taste in films.
What was the one that you had to watch?
Oh, that was brilliant. That was the some bikini clad girls versus a shark that could go on land.
It
was
Sharktopus, wasn't it?
Something like Sharktopus or something.
Half shark, half octopus.
But anyway, no, this was a different one.
Anyway,
I'm not sure why Crumbly thought now was the time to honour Dave by reviewing a crap film, but he did. And like a typical bloke, he's buggered off and left us here. You know, he's just, well, let's watch this. Ha ha, I'm not coming to the podcast now. But anyway, the rest of us subjected ourselves to, Godzilla versus Hedorah, otherwise known as Godzilla versus the Smog Monster. And I'm never, ever going to forgive Gene or Crumbly for suggesting it. Pause for music. Oh, no. Don't you dare say you enjoyed this woman.
I have a soft spot for Harryhausen stop go motion.
She have a soft spot in her head.
Yeah. I have a soft spot for Harryhausen stop go animation of the dinosaurs. But I love the modern CGI dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I don't like the modern CGI Godzillas. I love these old men in rubber suit Godzillas. I just think they're wonderful. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, God.
That
sums it up. That's perfect.
The best thing about Godzilla is the roar. Because it sounds like eight people opening rusty gates all at the same time.
Yeah. It's a lion, isn't it, though?
Is it?
I doubt it. I very much doubt it.
No, I think it's a lion the same way as the TARDIS is keys down piano wire.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm.
So the premise is...
Oh, there was no premise.
There was a premise. Well, if this was made now...
Which oh, 1971.
Then this people made would it, lose their man, jobs.
This was made in 1971. If it was made now with decent CGI, etc., there would be loads of keyboard warriors getting hyperventilated about how it was woke.
How woke it is and how anti this it is, and how it's
just trying to explain pollution and global warming.
They are just climbing on a recent bandwagon. Yeah.
No, this was 1971, and that Save the Earth song is still in my head. Thanks, Eugene.
So basically, the world is polluting itself to death in 1971.
May
this
I
is
a... retort? Mm. No, Japan is polluting itself to death.
I think by extension. Yeah.
No, I'm not. We're not having anything to do with this. It's just Japan.
So just to point out, the current generation isn't the first one that knows they're killing their own planet. Yeah. Several generations have.
This was even before the Green Death.
This was before the Green Death. So suddenly this fisherman finds this gunky tadpole thing and takes it to the local scientist kind of bloke who looks at it, and his son goes, oh, it's a tadpole down there. I don't know what it is, etc.
Sorry, you actually said that. You need to speak it, and then your voice needs to come out at least a split second afterwards.
Yeah. Doesn't show up well on audio, Keith.
No. So anyway, next thing you see is a boat has been broken in half
by this eyes.
Nasty thing that looks like the tadpole.
But bigger!
So Daddy goes into the sea to try and find it.
We honestly thought he was a dead man.
Didn't
we say this is so early 70s? Yeah. Small boy, I reckon about eight, is left on the sea line with waves crashing everywhere, armed with a really big knife so he can pick out winkles and that.
A dagger that's sort of the length of his arm.
This was normal. I had a pen knife until I was 13. I carried around with me. But anyway, so little boy sees thing coming towards him out of the water. Big red eyes, nasty, nasty, nasty. And he uses his knife to draw a line.
It was almost like...
He kind of cuts it.
It was almost like a scene out of Free Willy when the whale jumped over. Yeah. Instead, he stabbed it.
Much less fun.
Yeah.
And suddenly, Daddy's under the water, snorkeling, and you suddenly see the thing coming towards him, all red eyes, and you're like, oh, no, poor Daddy.
Yeah.
But in the next scene, Daddy's in bed with his face bandaged up. So somehow small boy managed to rescue his father.
Yeah.
Have we seen Godzilla yet?
No. And then they realise they've got this nasty thing that's mutated.
How is it mutating? Well, why?
They can't figure out first. And it just really wasn't very, very nice.
Then it went floaty.
Well, before it went floaty, there was a roar as our hero arrives.
We did have... Insert Godzilla noise here.
We did have a brief scene of Godzilla strolling about the ocean, zapping what looks like to be plastic islands and exploding.
But that was Ken's dream.
But that could have been a dream. I'm 100% sure on that.
Ken is our... Eight-year-old boy who is the protagonist of the story. We kind of see it through his eyes. He's a Godzilla fan. So Godzilla turns up with the most camp incidental music.
It is a really bad theme tune.
It was.
I mean, okay, yeah, these really are men in rubber suits. Yeah.
I do have to interject. There's a couple of amazing scenes where you get Godzilla sort of staggering around, failing his arms and jumping and punching. And I'm not sure whether that is on purpose, or the actor in the rubber suit has suddenly realised that his hand is alight because the special effect has just gone in. And he's trying to put the damn thing out.
Well, there was one scene where he looked like he was trying to get the head off, didn't he? He was generally pushing at his neck.
Yeah.
That's it, Yoshi. Work with it.
I can't breathe!
He does have this weird thing where he just claws at the air with one hand.
Yeah.
Is that a signature move in Godzilla? I'm not sure.
It kind of is.
Very weird.
So, you've got Godzilla with this deep roar when the laser's coming out of his eyes, etc. And he has this kind of like very, very, very camp music. Yeah. So he turns up and challenges the smog monster and has the living beaten out.
He always does. First fight, Godzilla always gets beaten up.
Yeah.
It's the law.
So suddenly, smog monster disappears, Godzilla disappears, and we're in a theme park riding on theme coaster rides.
What a day to choose to go on a roller coaster.
Yeah. Although, sure, he only comes out when it's foggy or
smoggy. The smog monster apparently, certainly through its first couple of incarnations.
Yeah. When it became floaty, it came out all the time because it does
change form.
It
evolves. There's a very interesting sort of Star Trek sparkly effect.
Yeah.
And it suddenly stands upright and runs around on two legs.
It kind of evolved into a giant silverfish that could fly but was dirt coloured.
Yeah.
They worked out that you could dehydrate it and it destroy it.
With electricity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We mustn't give away the ending for people because I'm sure they really want to know. But this was... Oh, it was painful. It was so... It was so 70s, especially when they were being groovy and funky.
Oh, yeah.
And they were going to get... Was it, let's get the hip kids and go up Mount... What's it? Mount Fuji.
Fuji. Yeah.
What was the point of that? They were going to go... They were going up Mount Fuji and lit lots of fires, which gave off pollution, which would attract the thing.
With absolutely no evidence, they decided it's afraid of fire and started throwing
burning twigs at it.
They threw burning staves at it, but the effect against the monster looked like they were flicking matches at it.
Yeah.
And those group of old folk hiding in the grass.
Those people hiding in the bushes and the grass. We kept going back to them. It was a group of old people peering at everything from the bushes, and then all things went to hell, and it flashed back to the old people who were peering from the bushes, and we never found out who they were, what happened to them.
Why were they there? People peering from the bushes?
What were they doing in the bushes? Halfway up Mount Fuji.
Bird watching.
This was a horrible film, and I didn't like it, and it made me feel sad.
And everywhere that kid went and his family, the smog monster had turned up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seemed to be targeting their family.
Yeah.
It was that kid. I didn't trust him.
Well, everyone got wiped out. Except for the kid and the girl.
Yeah.
There was a quote. I've got the IMDb up here. There's a quote, and it's quite good. And it's the scene where they're at the arcade.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got Kim, you've got his mum, and you've got... I couldn't make out if it's an older brother or a friend.
I think
or
it was actually
it was.
An assistant to the father because he called him Professor.
Yeah. And his line, the teenage lad, is, "There's no place else to go and pretty soon we'll all be dead. So forget it. Enjoy yourself. Let's sing and dance while we can. Come on, blow your mind."
It was set 1971. Yeah. Well, thing to do was
we
go
did
and...
seem to have yeah. when we first met the assistant in the disco. We did seem to have that bad acid trip.
Yeah,
flashback.
Everyone suddenly had fish for heads and things like that. Fish and he was clearly off his little nut.
Yeah,
he was.
But, oh Lord!
And then he got the military appeared to be like Pertwee years. There were three of them.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. On a backdrop which has been projected on.
Yeah, running around a lot.
Meant to be doing something with electricity, and they got it so wrong that in the end Godzilla did it himself.
It does turn out, however, that the smog monster, Heron, was not entirely man-made.
No, came from the Horsehead Nebula or something.
Thing about the meteor.
Because it turns out there was a meteor that had an entity that probably came from a planet in the Horsehead Nebula that lived on pollution, and it just happened to find the most polluted point to land.
They kind of really rushed over that, didn't they?
So the thing is, they did the fundamental problem of tell us and not actually show us. So it's a part of the dialogue that you could have easily missed.
Yeah, they had a few space shots.
Yeah.
With a load of Japanese writing.
At
least with some of it, the kid was translating it as it was all popping up.
There were scenes that obviously they either couldn't film or they wanted to condense down. So every now and then you had these animations.
Yes.
Cartoons.
Keith actually said, the first time that happened, I think it was with the little house with eyes that was eating the pollution, he actually said, "What the f***?"
I don't swear often. I do apologise.
Well, then you have Godzilla flying.
Yeah! Because he's trying to always propel Godzilla.
He's farting his way up into the air.
That was wonderful. But one thing I did notice at the beginning, where the little boy was playing on the slide and he had his Godzilla creature. He also chucked down a Godzuki.
There was a Godzuki.
Missing Godzuki.
And why did Godzilla have what looked like inflated marigold gloves sprayed green all down his back?
Because they were. They're his spines.
They were not spines. They're like inflated marigold gloves.
Where's Dave Zilla the Mighty? He's got the spines.
Yeah.
I'm not talking to Dave Zilla the Mighty at the moment. I don't care.
Have sympathy for the poor guy. His budget was cut in half and he only had one camera crew to actually film this.
He's clearly done quite a low budget.
Let's have a look at Dave Zilla.
See?
Yep.
Karen is examining a plastic Dave Zilla Godzilla.
Yeah, I'm right. Definitely inflated marigold gloves sprayed pink in this case.
Yeah.
You, young model, have a lot to answer for. He looks much more convincing than the Godzilla I just watched on the telly. You sit here with me.
He's not rubbing his eyes or his nose and doing the Ali shuffle.
We actually...
Moonwalking!
Moonwalked! He did moonwalk!
Yeah. Being gluttons for punishment, we also did watch the original Japanese version with dubbing over.
Oh, yes. That's what we watched.
That was what we watched. Yes.
There were two distinct versions.
Right, yeah.
There was our one, and there was a similar one with a newsreader with an English language map of Fuji City and other little bits in between to make it more palatable for a European audience.
Yes, we had the original Japanese version, but with English dubbing, rather than the Americanized smog monster version.
Yeah.
See, I have to say, with these Godzilla movies, there's a few of them around and different ones, I prefer the Japanese with the dubbing, because there's that thing about them moving their lips and the words coming out 30 seconds later, because the two languages aren't the same length of time to say the same thing.
Yes.
I love the monsters in... are so obviously people in rubber suits stomping over like one-third model.
They out Doctor Who, Doctor Who.
Oh, they do. When people complain about men in rubber suits, they've really got to watch the Japanese Godzilla movies.
I was having sort of original 90s Power Ranger flashbacks.
No idea.
But the thing is, I remember watching things like this when we first all met, but we used to be three sheets to the wind watching
this. There was a lot more alcohol involved. Yeah.
They made more sense back then.
I think it's how they were made, to be fair.
Yeah.
At one point, there's a bit where they've buried a baby in mud up to his neck.
The Zoom calls. Remember the Zoom meeting? Yeah.
Never slaved did that for real.
Zoom calls before Zoom was invented.
It was like, at one point, it was like a really, really bad version of the Take a Chance on Me video from ABBA. It was just like blocks popping up all over the place, different colour, and this screaming baby.
Yeah.
And the kitten.
Yeah. The sludge monster went into the disco cavern area where the groovy kids were hanging out and singing about saving the planet. And it kind of like absorbed everyone, came out and left this kitten sitting there,
kitten
covered in goo, going...
Yeah, it was on the end credits too, wasn't it? Yeah.
It is interesting that even in the 70s, they were aware that pollution was a big thing, that they were polluting the seas, and that this is going to come back to bite us in the bum. And it wasn't just about sea pollution, it was about polluting the air and everything else.
They ban all cars in Japan, don't they, during the film?
Because
obviously the pollution. So and then they say something about beware of nuclear explosion, which I think is very prescient of them.
For them, that's...
it was like,
Fukushima, anyone?
And finally, be aware of nuclear explosions. And now over to Greg with the weather.
Because wherever the smog monster go, it corrodes all the metal. So eventually there would be
that poor man who was on the building site. He'd just finished building all his metal frame and then he's plummeting to his doom.
But he got dissolved before he hit the bottom.
All right then.
By the time he hit the bottom, it was the pile of skelly bones.
And because... was it me or were those skeletons really, really weird?
They were... Because the smog monster, as soon as he breathes pollution over people, which then kills them outright.
Yeah,
and then because of his turning the gases into acids, he basically defleshes everything within a fraction of a second. At least perfectly white bones that look like they came out.
But they weren't all there.
No one had
any ribs or hips. It was just like a really long Richard III type spine and some legs. Oh, God. See, talking about it now, it sounds like we kind of enjoyed it. But we really didn't.
I do notice that every 10 minutes you are tapping the screen to find out how long we've got left.
It is mercifully short, about 81 minutes.
Yeah. No, it is mercifully 81 minutes long.
Which is about 60 minutes too long. Yeah.
So, basically, I'm in the minority of actually really enjoying this.
Pumps me full of cider, I would have fallen asleep. I can no longer hold my alcohol.
You would have burped, giggled and fell off the sofa.
Which would have probably been a preferable use of 81 minutes than actually watching this film.
Yeah, because for those of an age who didn't used to watch these movies, One of the things you used to do on a Saturday was sit there. These would be played on BBC TV, mm-hmm. and you would tune in to watch it with your mates, as Karen says, with a few bevvies, and you would turn the sound off and create your own script as you went along.
I don't think the own script would have been much worse than the script that was.
I think some of them were actually quite good that we came up with.
Yeah. Well, this got an IMDb rating of 6.1 out of 10, so it's
pretty
not
good.
As rated
so,
as
so they obviously people, had their alcohol
people
as well.
People are still doing it. They're watching it drunk and go, that's really good, I'm going to give that a 7.
Oh, I loved it.
I'd like to say we recommend you watch this, but I like you all too much. I'm not going to do that.
The 11th film.
Gene clearly hates
11th Godzilla film.
They're in the middle of a Godzilla run at that point. It's sort of starting from 1950s, I think, the first one.
I've remembered something.
Oh God.
The kid, Ken, he's the one who called it a Hedra.
Yeah.
He told his daddy and his mummy why, because it came from the mud. And suddenly, all the news outlets in the world are calling it a Hedra, because a small 8-year-old boy said it.
Well,
what the hell? Ben called a banana a wonky fruit once. Has it gone on the news? No.
No, but at that point, the bonky fruit already had a name.
No, wonky fruit, not bonky fruit.
That's what you do with it.
I did say wonky fruit. Whereas if the wonky fruit didn't have a name, they would have called it wonky fruit.
Particularly if his grandfather over there is the chief scientist. And
that was his father.
Was it his
did
father?
You not, did you yeah. not he see the repeated yellings of Papa?
Oh, okay. It just seemed to be quite old to be his father, but okay.
No, you blokes, you can... I mean, James Doohan became a dad at 80.
That's true.
Yeah.
A lot of Scotty juice there.
Ew. Right, if you've ever watched this debacle of a film...
That's another thing. It's just, when they've rolled through the electrical cables to power the generator.
The
and they had to rewire it back up. It's going to take us another 20 minutes. If Scotty was there...
They would have done it.
I did mention
Godzilla
that.
Wouldn't have had to do it by himself.
They had more than two staff.
Well,
they might have had to do it.
Well, they got rolled on.
I'm not going to ask you to watch this and review it because, as I said, I like you all far too much. But
watch
if for some reason you decide to, please tell us what you thought about it. Send your abuse to Gene via show at
staggeringstories.net.
Woo!
Don't blame us, blame Gene.
Yeah. Can we watch some more of the Godzilla versus movies?
Right, aside from whatever it was we watched, we listened to some stuff which was good and entertaining and just good. I've forgotten what it was. What's it called?
Paternoster Row Trespassers.
The Paternoster Gang Trespassers 1 Rogues Gallery.
What he said. Pause for music. Right, this was a trio of stories about an hour long each.
Yep.
And the second one, I think, was my favourite by Dan Starkey. Yeah. As Keith said, it was the closest to an actual Sherlock Holmes story.
It was, yeah.
That we
if
had.
You cut out all the alien shenanigans, it's...
The third one was excellent until I found out that this box set ends on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? First time, I think.
I tutted quite heavily.
You punched
That's
me.
More than I did. I said rude words.
You punched
and I was
me.
At work at the time.
You punched me.
Well, to make up for me punching you, tell us about the first one.
Okay. The first one starts at a theatre. They're all out for a night on the town.
They are.
The Ghost and the Potato Man.
Ghost and the Potato Man. which incidentally, and I thought it was a nice touch, introduces Ellie from the...
I think
they
Jago
did cross over but... before, did they?
Oh, did they?
They Strax.
They did a Strax one in Jago and Lightfoot. But I think, I'm not sure if this is the first time, but it is does have Ellie in it, and Mr. Jago is mentioned.
Yes. Towards the end, it's Strax is told, oh, if you're interested in joining Mr. Jago, we'll sign you on straight away.
They've got someone covering them, Jago, at the... I'm assuming it's the Palace Theatre. It is never mentioned what theatre it is.
It's his theatre. I'm not sure it's the Palace Theatre anymore. I think that burned down, didn't it?
But I have to say, the current commentator they have is not a patch on Jago.
No.
He was all right, but he's no Gordon Jago.
No Henry Gordon Jago.
And you had to know the parlay to understand half of what was going on.
Ellie has got them here because they have a particular magician, or as he likes to call himself, an illusionist, who performs a set of magic, quite improbable magic tricks, utilizing a blue ghost.
Yes.
Also, you have a gang of cut purses raiding the area that, when they're caught in the corner, suddenly disappear.
It's all mysterious stuff.
And incidentally, that's one of the illusionist's tricks, is to disappear into the mist.
What was the name of them? It wasn't Roddy and Roddy.
No, it was Vonnie and Vinnie.
Vonnie and Vinnie, that's it.
Apparently, the local hoodlum has got himself hold of, I want to say, blue butterflies, but they were in the book, weren't they?
Morpho
the Lepidoptera
butterflies.
Yeah, morpho butterflies that sort of are large, blue and ghost-like that can teleport, for want of a better term, themselves, but only to places they've been to, that they know. And, of course, the cut purses are using them as an escape route, and the illusionist is using them as an illusion on his act to pay the gang leader back a very hefty debt, that monetary debt that he's into. And of course, the Paternoster gang are there to solve the crime, solve the problems, and get the morphos together, because if they're separated, they die. They're sort of a gestalt group that live and survive as a community, but do not survive in captivity or isolation. And the idea is to release them and let them free.
I could listen to these three all day.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're absolutely marvellous.
They bounce off wonderfully together. Yeah. And I do love the fact that the relationship between Vashtra and Strax has progressed. As in, madam, can I suggest?
No. Nope.
Yeah, immediately, yeah.
And then they do that about four times, and then we have, madam, may I suggest? What? Well, you should tell me to know by now. And the threat to release
the squirrel guided laser missile.
Yes. So in the first one, Madame Vashtra, and it keeps throwing me every time they say Vashtra because I keep sitting and thinking, well, what's she up to? Because my cat is called Vashtra. Has a connection with the blue fairies.
Yes.
Because they were around when she...
Yeah, they're from
she's a child.
Childhood. Yeah. And she used to... Her fellow Silurians used to catch them and she would let them go so they could remain pretty and everything. Then in the second one, Ghosts and the Potato Man...
That's the first one.
That's the first one. The second one, Symmetry of Death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have another creature from her era.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was actually the epoch before her era, but she's familiar with them.
Because she makes a point of saying legendary. From what you humans call the Cretaceous era.
Yes. I don't think there was something in the third one, but I'm wondering if...
We don't know yet.
There is... But
it's definitely a shapeshifter.
Yeah, there is something connecting the previous two stories in the third one.
Oh, yes,
one, but not necessarily directly connected to Vashtra.
Yeah.
The second one I love, The Symmetry of Death. That's the one that...
Yeah, it was so clever.
It really is clever. It starts off with the locked room mystery.
Yeah. To my knowledge, it's the closest we have to a standard Sherlock Holmes, as in we have the wicked uncle trying to get the inheritance out of the niece.
Yes.
Being a Paternoster row, it can't be that simple. We have aliens and off-world shenanigans going on, but...
Yeah.
Got very annoyed Americans that don't like Britain. And
the American guy, it was very much mispronouncing his name. It was like Cumberdick Bendypatch. It was how many times can we mispronounce his name?
But that gag went all the way through because he mispronounced the bellboy and then Mr. Strax, and there was that joke all the way through of everyone mispronouncing names.
It was mainly the bellboy couldn't seem to get any names right.
Yes.
After you heard that, you commented about the American.
Did I?
Accent.
Oh, yeah, the accent. I think he was played by Tom Petty, not and the Heartbreakers. And I think he's an Englishman, and his accent, I think, kind of wandered. Because he started off somewhere, I think, over in Texas. And then by the end of it, he was channeling Forrest Gump, which is Alabama.
But he was the one who disappeared.
Yeah, he was the one who disappeared.
He wasn't necessarily American.
I get the feeling that was deliberate.
I hope so, because that was,
Because when we get the culmination of the story, he's like Madame Vastra isn't all she seems to be when you take the veil off. He isn't all he seems to be.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Now, the third one, the Doctor appears.
Oh, yes.
Till death do us part.
Does he?
Dun, 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 dun.
Well, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why we went dun, 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 dun. Because it's all very suspicious.
There's a lot of doppelgangering shenanigans. I like that word, shenanigans.
He's actually on the front cover.
Yes.
But I didn't notice him. I didn't look at the front cover.
He's not front and centre. He's off to one side.
He is. I'm looking at it now. Mm. So I was surprised when he turned up.
Yeah. I've got to admit, I'm sitting there. I know that voice. Where have I heard that?
I did recognise him immediately.
I recognise the voice, but I didn't recognise who.
Right.
This one starts off with Jenny deciding she wants to get married.
Yes.
To Vastra.
Formally.
Formally.
Well, as formally as you can in Victorian.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, with I love Strax. I volunteered to be the best
the
man.
Made, the best man.
Maid, the maid of honour and the father
and the page
of the boy.
Yeah.
He wanted to for everything.
But, that reminds me, there's one of the scenes, I can't remember which one it's in, I think it was the second one, where the American was got back, and of course he was stark bollock naked.
Oh, yes.
And Strax hands him a bath. He says, could someone hand me a bed sheet? And Strax goes, there you are, madam. He's standing naked. <Yeah. laughs>
If you're going to do that, I have to point out, again, another Straxism from the first one.
Oh, he's great up on stage.
Yeah, well, that was the stealth mode, him getting up on stage. But it's when they're chasing after the cut purses. I'm after him! He's gone down there! It's difficult for me to change direction once I get started! And I have difficulty stopping!
Yeah, him putting everyone down in the first story as well.
Yeah.
Anyway,
a stage
that
act,
guy was born to be a Sontaran. It's just it's just genius what he's done.
So in the last one, you've got Jenny wants to get married.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Vastra's like, oh, do we have to? And Jenny's mum's there. And everyone seems to be flipping between, let's get married. Why would we want to do this? Oh, we put up with them. We hate them. And it's all over the place. The Doctor turns up, and this woman accuses Mr. Smith of being...
It's Miss Faversham.
Miss Faversham.
Yes.
Great Expectations.
That John has turned up 30 years after he jilted her at the...
And
at
she hasn't taken her wedding dress off.
Yeah. And what I do like is, I think it was Vastra says, well, he has got form for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's Jenny. Let's get the wedding dress off and we'll give it a wash, particularly around the armpits.
And Strax. Be careful of the armpits. They have taken on a corrosive quality.
But it all seems a bit weird because, people slowly start to figure out, or Vastra and Jenny slowly start to figure out...
After they have a major Barney.
Mr. John might be the Doctor. Mm. Yeah, they have a real Barney. He's like, do you love me anymore? Of course I love you. I hate you kind of stuff.
Yep.
And they decide to get married, and the Doctor turns up, and it's all very nice.
He was invited.
He was invited, and it all gets sorted out. And then, whilst they're getting married, we get this bit about Jenny being in chains.
Yes.
Yeah. In the basement.
The cliffhanger, yeah. Mm.
Dun, dun, dun. And now we can't hear this next part because it's on the next box set.
So we got married at the church. Because if it wasn't our Jenny...
Well, this is it.
Vashtra's married a weirdo.
What?
Yeah,
what?
Does that count to that point, Darren?
I shouldn't think so.
No.
Because she volunteered to marry Jenny. She didn't marry this shapeshifter.
It's been because it was the image of Jenny swapped the vows, not the shapeshifter, if you understand my meanings. Because it was under an assumed name.
Yes, but...
But it doesn't, so it doesn't count.
Because the shapeshifter has been in it, not that we know, at different points all the way through.
It's been playing, the shapeshifter has been playing the central villain of each story.
Whilst he's got Jenny in, we say he, because he's got a male voice, but we don't know. Well, he's got he's got Jenny in chains down in the basement of wherever. He goes through some of the personas, including the Doctor, including her, including Vashtra, including Strax.
Yeah, because of course we had the...
It wasn't Strax yet, it was another sometime.
It was Cork, if I remember rightly. Yeah.
Including the evil uncle from the first story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the gang leader.
Gang leader. Yeah. So Rich, you've got this... This character that's been running through it, but you a bit like Bad Wolf, you don't really see it to the end. And you still can't actually be sure which of these are the real characters and which aren't.
And also, when was Jenny captured? Because she was captured briefly in the second one.
Mm.
So is that when Jenny was captured, or has she been there a lot longer than that? Did they rescue the changeling rather than Jenny?
Well, how many doppelgangs are there? Because at one point, the doppelganger was clearly Vashtra, so it can't have been Vashtra and Jenny at the same time.
No, unless there's more than one of them.
Or they're time travelling.
Oh my God.
Because there was an implication at one point that it was a doctor who stood up Faversham.
Yeah.
And just hadn't happened to him yet.
Yeah.
But actually, no. It seemed like this doppelganger's been around for 30-odd years.
The doppelganger also seemed to know that the doctor was a Time Lord.
Obviously, he must have met him at some point to have copied him.
Yeah.
Is it a Rutan?
Could be, yes.
Yeah. Mm. Strax would be so happy.
They have comparable technology to Centaurans.
Yeah.
And we know Centaurans have a limited 200-year time travel ability.
Mm. Mm. But we are left after these three very, very good stories. I can't find... Usually there's a really good one. And there's three good stories in this box set.
I didn't fall asleep in one of them. And for me, that's a record.
Despite me trying.
Yeah. And we are left at the end of the third on one of the best cliffhangers we've had for ages. And I said a rude word out loud at work. And I want to know when the part four's coming out, because we don't know how long Jenny's been down there. Who has got Jenny? Why they've got Jenny? What the... Going on!
But the next box set is already out.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
When are you ordering it? When are we getting
it? I've got it already.
And
it's on the thing in front of me.
I mean, seriously, this is one of the better big finishes I have heard for a long time.
This is one of the ones that we're all happy to say, listen to it.
Yeah.
Please do. And when you've listened to it, write to us and tell us what you thought of it
via
show.
At
staggeringstories.net.
Woo! Right, someone over in the corner there really enjoyed this one as well.
Oh, yes.
He's quite cross we didn't go to him.
Oh.
So we should say...
Inky McSquirts a lot.
Hello to the head of Pert. 1, 2, 3.
Hello, head of Pertwee.
Handles Inky McSquirts a lot. Godzilla the Mighty.
Dave Zilla the Mighty.
Sorry, Dave Zilla the Mighty.
He's over here.
And
Terrence.
Hello,
Graham.
What have you done with folded up Clara?
She's still folded up.
She's folded up and then she's now tucked behind the chair.
And got a horrible mask on just to cover
the
face.
Hello, Moomin, otherwise known as mozzarella before it's been carved.
Yeah, mozzarella meat.
Hello, various nebulas.
Dangerous Churchill, Nazi Spock.
Hello, all of you. You're wonderful.
And
You've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I do.
Gosh, you really need some more walls, don't
you? I do.
So, I believe we have no feedback.
Double check, but I think that's true.
Don't you love us anymore?
No, because there's no more Doctor Who, so they don't want to talk to us anymore.
Nobody wants to talk about Smog Monster.
I'm not surprised.
Don't diss the smog monster.
No,
save the
back.
Planet! Save the planet! And so that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Thank God.
But join us next time for more fun, frivolity and jollity, news and reviews and who old and new. So until that, G for Godzilla. Galumping great gaseous gob of goitness. Gastric goo
gallops
gallivantingly
galumpingly
towards us. This is me, Fake Keith, saying farewell.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
I plan to live forever.
Or die trying. You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, Number 452, featuring Adam Purcell, Fake Keith, Gene Riddler and the real Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended. This has been a El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Shaboom, shaboom.
Stop.
Sha la 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 la. Shaboom, shaboom.
I will murder you.
Sha la 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 la. Shaboom, shaboom.
Shush.
Sha la 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 la. Sha la 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 la.
He's just annoyed because I had to throw one of his hats in the bin.
Oh, what happened to it?
It got covered in tomato sauce.
When we went down to Brighton, it got sauced.
So we put it in the washing machine on the cold wash and it kind of looks like, when he puts it on, he looks like Huckleberry Finn.
Oh, right.
Some of it disintegrated and the rest of it just
lost its shape.
Totally.
Hence, the new one.
New hat.
Ah, where'd you get the new hat?
Now he looks like the Tesco. Mafia.
Tesco, really?
Yeah, they've got some really good ones upstairs.
Yeah. Always tend to go to Marks
Spencer's.
They're
too good for the likes of you.
Has anyone done a quick check, make sure Tom Baker hasn't died?
Is it the dead woman?
It's the dead woman. I've got to find her name.
The dead woman.
Check Tom Baker's still alive.
Oh, he was half an hour ago. This means nothing to that man. I mean, Carrie Fisher waited until we'd recorded before she decided to pop off. So
that's true.
I took it personally.
Yeah.
But she has appeared in... I don't have them listed here. There you go. We go to the IUB... Well, you're going to the IUBD. So you
I'm going to the IMDB. I don't know where you're going.
IMDB, that's it.
Are we doing Godzilla versus Hedra first?
I hate you with a passion.
You could run her through with the batleth.
I could run her through with the batleth.
Yeah, it is crying out for blood. It hasn't tasted blood yet.
Can we watch Godzilla against Mecha Godzilla?
There have been a couple in the cinema this year.
Yeah.
And Minus One is meant to be really good. Godzilla Minus One.
Gene?
I think he's Japanese.
For nearly 40 years now, I've counted you as a sister. You started off as a friend and I grew to love you. And you are now closer to me than my own sister is. But if you make us watch another Godzilla movie, I'm going to pull your tits off via your anus.
So you don't want to go for the original 1954 Godzilla movie?
I think I'm going to be ill that podcast.
Is that the one with Raymond Burr?
I don't know. Could be.
Because I know it's a Japanese film that went to America and they refilmed certain segments or little bits to drop Raymond Burr in it.
Is he dead now?
He played Ironside. And,
yeah, he's died ages ago. Yeah.
Good, serves him right.
So in 1955 we could have had Godzilla Raids Again. Not Rides, Raids Again.
Okay.
Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Right.
And 1962...
Oh, God, could we stop talking about
King
Godzilla?
Kong versus Godzilla. Not the recent one. This is 1962. The
Godzilla X Kong.
So what we need to do is we need to
watch... You need to stop
King
talking
Kong
about
versus
Godzilla.
Godzilla 1962 and watch Kong versus Godzilla, the new one, and compare the two.